Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Glad you can be with us here today on this Wednesday afternoon. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Go to thewholeshow.com for our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. And this one has to do with Colorado State. I mean, some madness last night, some Moby madness. How far do you think this team can go? Do you think this is a March Madness team? Like, hands down, after what you saw last night between Colorado State and Oral Roberts, 109-80, does this team just look like an NCAA tournament team? Or Oral Roberts, without one of their studs going to the transfer portal, maybe, okay, well, again, you beat most teams like at that level by like 109-80? Come on, how can you not vote anything other than they're at least getting in? So the options are they're going to get in, they're advanced to the second round, Sweet 16. I'm telling you, you guys are all in, man. The majority of the hooligans today are saying Sweet 16 at this point. Just pulled it up. Go to thewholeshow.com. Again, that's our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. How far will the Rams go? I mean, there's like 4% of you that are like, championship. Wouldn't that be something? Again, I don't know that it's that, you know, far off the table, but I'm not going to predict that. I think that they're a first round team for sure. I think do they get past the first round? Probably going to come in with like a 7-6. But I could see that. So 33% now say Sweet 16. 21% say advanced to the second round of the tournament. 12% say they'll get in. 9% of you say great season, but they're going to miss out. Another 9% say they're going to win it all. You actually have them winning the national title. 9% say Elite Eight. Final Four, 6%. Championship game, 0%. So 0% are voting on they're just going to go to a championship game. You're either voting that they just go to the Final Four or they go win it all. Okay, yeah, that's cool. So go vote there. I'd like to see where that one turns out. Kind of a sigh of relief for Rams fans, too. David Roddy, was going back and forth with him last night after the game, and just back spasms. So nothing serious there. And if you're a Rams fan, you're feeling pretty darn good about life right now, if you're a basketball fan, because you just whooped up on a Sweet 16 team without Roddy and Isaiah Stevens running the ship. So, and Tanjay's good. If you can get him to become a superstar, you're feeling real. Who knows, guys? Who knows? CSU might be there. They might be that good. And most of you think that they're a Sweet 16 team. So that is pretty damn good overall. Again, First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Joker, that was the big news of the day. The Joker gets a one-game suspension. Jimmy Butler getting fined $30,000 for instigating, continuing on with the fight, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. Was that $30,000 for his on-the-court thing when he was saying, bring your outside or to the back? Or was that when they went into the locker room last night or two nights ago? You know what it reminded me of when I saw that picture? And I don't even know if that's a real picture. I don't even know if that was from that night, because I've heard some people say, no, that's actually from their locker room earlier. They were just walking out. I couldn't tell you. And if they were in the back waiting for the Joker, because that's what reports were indicating, that they were waiting for Joker. They were wanting to talk to him. It reminded me of the WWE. You know, when they all go in the back and they fight back there before they get out onto the ring? Or after the match, whatever. That's what it looked like. That's what it reminded me of. Boy, that's November. What is it? What did I say? November 29th? That's going to be nuts. Joker, Nuggets, on the road, in Miami. And then we saw the report yesterday that Joker's brothers got their tickets to Miami. They are going to that game.
And Jokic, No!
This is whenever the Joker brothers enter. I could just see them calling one of the Morrises with this, like, in the background, like in a movie. Don't mess with our brother. Jokic brothers. Click. I heard Tanner on NoCo Now today say, hey, it's fun. I hope it doesn't escalate something. Me too. I mean, this is all well and good right now. I got to be honest with you. I know the Morris brothers are basketball players. They're entertainers. I don't know how serious this is. Like, is this a real thing? I mean, we're all making fun of it, throwing out Tony Soprano stuff, but do we know anything about Joker's brothers? Chris Dempsey told us yesterday that he said that they're sweet guys. They don't really look sweet. They don't look like sweet guys. One of them's a fighter. Like, I don't know if he fights in the U. I don't know. Is UFC a worldwide thing? I have no freaking clue. But the younger, the middle child, I guess, would be, is like a professional fighter. And then the oldest brother just looks like he doesn't need to be a professional fighter because he's that big. He's like 7 foot, 320 pounds. So are these guys brawlers? Are they connected? I know we're saying connected. I have no clue because we know Nikola Jokic is a guy that loves horses and he's kind of a sweet guy. He jokes around all the time. So to me, I don't know, I had somebody text me the other day, Joker's brothers look like the two guys that had a really hard life and they did whatever it took to make sure that Joker had a happy life and could focus on basketball. Maybe. Maybe so, but that's the thing, like, what's happening that game in Miami? Like, is there going to be double security, triple security there? This guy's going to be staring down the Markieff Morris the whole game? Jimmy Butler the whole game? That's going to be must-see television. Unless, like I said yesterday, unless Malone goes, you know what, that's, we're going to load management that one. No Joker tonight. So, no Joker tonight, officially. He will be suspended. Now, I'm glad they didn't draw this thing out. Get it done. Do the very next game. Let's just be done with it. We're going to find out what the team's like without Nikola. Who's starting? I've been looking. Who's starting at center? I mean, you're probably just going to go Jermichael Green. So Jermichael Green will go at center. Porter's still out. So are you going Jeff Green there? You're just going to go big? Go Jeff Green at the small forward. Jermichael Green at center. Morris is actually listed as day-to-day still. I mean, wow. So your depth suddenly looks a little different. When does Bol Bol get in? I don't know what the hell's happening with Bol Bol. He doesn't even look like he wants to be in. He looks like he's irritated. There was a viral video that went around last year where the Nuggets had celebrated a playoff win and they were all like in the huddle in the locker room, like cheering, and you just saw Bol Bol in the background just staring, like didn't want to be there. That is a mystery to me. He's a fan favorite, never really gets to play, doesn't really look like he wants to be in because he's irritated that he doesn't get meaningful minutes. Is this the game they should experiment? Throw Bol Bol out. I mean, I don't think the Pacers are that great, but hey, let's face it. Nobody thinks you can win without Joker anyway. So do you just throw Bol Bol out there? Start him? Go from 0 minutes to starter? I don't know. You know me, guys. You've heard me talk about Drew Locke. I'm a close the book guy. I want to know what I got in a guy all the way. 100%. And I don't know what the mystique is around Bol Bol. Is it because of his dad? Because of his height? Because he can handle the ball with that height? Because he wore like a spider suit, which was awesome on draft night? I don't know. But either way, we don't want to know what life is like without the Joker. We knew at some point we were going to find out this year because Michael Malone did say at the beginning of the season that they were going to practice some load management with Joker. Even though he wouldn't sign off on that, they would rest him 5 to 10 games throughout the season. Well, just consider this one of those. No harm done, except for, I don't know, $348,000. But when you're making $28 million, it's not that big a deal. And, hey, we're setting our sights now to the Broncos-Eagles. Heck of an opportunity right now for Denver. I'm a little concerned about this game. Because this game looks like the kind that, okay, Denver, you stayed above water, you got to 4-4. Wasn't pretty, but you're there. Then you beat a Dallas team somehow, some way. All the doubters, all that. I get it. It's us against the world. Vaughn's gone. Nobody believes in us. We're going to win one for us. You know, we're going to do it for ourselves. And they did. They found a way. And then you're thinking, okay, this is it. Vic Fangio's finally going to get this team back on track. And the Broncos are going to have their first winning season since the year after the Super Bowl when they went 9-7 with Cubs. They're going to have their first maybe playoff season. For the first time since the Super Bowl year. If you drop this thing to Philadelphia, all of that momentum goes away. And that's what I'm worried about, because I think it was Vance Joseph's first year. They were 3-6, and I talked about this on Monday. They were 3-6, and then they won three in a row to get 6-6, and we're thinking, holy cow, four games left, they might squeeze into the playoffs somehow. They ended up losing out, and that was it. That's what I worry about with this Philadelphia game. You've got your bye coming up, man. So this is a perfect game. You go out there, you beat Philadelphia, you're 6-4 in your bye week, getting healthy. Get Bradley Chubb. Maybe he comes back. I have no idea. But you start getting healthy. And then you get healthy for that Chargers game that is going to be hopefully an absolute epic game. Because that could have... You know, I know the Raiders are sitting at the top, but that could have, or no, I guess the Raiders are tied. So it's the Broncos at the bottom. It feels weird to say that, but they are. Chargers are 5-3. Raiders are 5-3. Chiefs are 5-4. Broncos are 5-4. So, yeah, that game's going to mean a lot, but you have to take care of Philadelphia and then get set for your bye, because then you got Chargers and Chiefs back to back. Some big opportunity. And both those games look winnable. Listen, suddenly a lot of games look winnable. You beat Dallas the way you beat them. A lot of games look winnable here. Suddenly my 11 wins doesn't look so crazy. We're not that far away from it. But you can't overlook Philadelphia. Got to be careful here. Jeff Legwold reporting from ESPN saying Broncos coach Vic Fangio said before Wednesday's practice, cornerback Pat Surtain, who left Sunday's win in Dallas with a knee injury in the third quarter, did not return, was not on the list of players the team's trainers had given him or who would not practice, but that it might be an omission. Surtain went for an MRI Monday and was diagnosed with a sprained knee. So I was told he wasn't going to play and then be back for after the bye week. But I don't know. Maybe he does play, but I would not count on that one. 18 minutes after the hour. Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, an excellent sponsor of ours. They've been doing it with us for a couple of years now. The only family-owned and operated funeral home in Greeley and the Greeley-Evans area. Their services are as unique as life. Their motto, hey, live well. Do your thing. Don't stress about this. But just get it done, plan ahead, and be done. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It's an awesome gift. That's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. 19 minutes after the hour. Still to come, Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network. We'll talk football with him because there's some big, big games coming up in the Mountain West Conference. Yeah, like a really big one. Nevada and San Diego State, when you're looking at the Mountain West, that game is for the top of the mountain on that side of it. So we'll talk to Jesse at the bottom of the hour. More on the Nuggets, more on the Broncos going forward. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
For the Bears, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to the Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Four minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Should we give some Nuggets tickets away? I think we absolutely should. I got Nuggets ticket, not for tonight. Don't worry. Joker will be back Friday. So they're going up against on Friday, going up against Atlanta. That should be fun. I've got tickets for that one. Denver Nuggets the Atlanta Hawks on Friday night. Let me check the time. 7 o'clock. That should be an interesting one for sure. But if you guys get to see Trae Young, good players there for the Hawks. They haven't quite got it going just yet. What I need, and again, hopefully you guys know this by now, but Ball Arena, it was announced last week. If you want to win tickets from us, you'd have to know this. To get into Ball Arena, you do have to require a negative COVID test or a vaccination card. Those are the rules. Don't shoot the messenger. That is the Ball Arena rule, at least for 2021 and probably 2022. But what I need from you is you'll call the station. I'll need your first and last name and your email address. And then we send it through Ticketmaster. So, Michael, first and last name and email address. I'm going to take caller number 5 right now. You get tickets to go see the Nuggets. The Hawks go at it on Friday night. Perfect. Friday night plans for you. 7 o'clock. Denver Nuggets, Atlanta Hawks. Caller number 5, 970-353-1310. Or toll free, 877-353-1310. Number 5, you get a pair of tickets to go see the Nuggets and the Hawks on Friday night. Just need your first and last name and email address. 26 minutes after the hour. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Power to Play Sports poll question is up. How far do you think Colorado State men's basketball will go this season? Sweet 16, they're going to advance to the second round, get into the first round, or, you know, a great season, but they're going to miss out on March Madness. So you go vote. It's crazy. The Sweet 16 is leading it at this point in time. What do you make of this whole Aaron Rodgers thing? And apparently, NFL teams are absolutely furious over the league's BS and that BS Aaron Rodgers punishment. According to the New York Post, some NFL teams reportedly aren't satisfied with the league's handling of its investigation into Packers and quarterback Aaron Rodgers over the violation of COVID-19 protocols. The NFL fined the Packers $300,000 for not enforcing COVID-19 protocols concerning Rodgers, according to multiple reports. The quarterback and his teammate, wide receiver Alan Lazard, were both fined $14,650. The violations of the league's investigation included Rodgers not wearing a mask during his news conference and Green Bay's failure to report that Rodgers and Lazard attended a team Halloween party. Unvaccinated players are not allowed to gather in groups of more than 3, according to a league rule. The NFL then started to launch its investigation after Rodgers tested positive for COVID-19 last week. And they did went on to confirm, of course, as we know now, that he is unvaccinated against the virus. I've tried to stay away from this one because you guys know me on this. I get frustrated with all the inconsistencies. You know, because if you're unvaccinated, you have to wear a mask. You have to do this. But I've seen these guys wearing masks on the sidelines, and they take them off to go be in the huddle. Think about that. The quarterback has to wear a mask on the sideline if you're unvaccinated, which there's a few. Lamar Jackson, Carson Wentz, and apparently Aaron Rodgers, but he wasn't wearing a mask. Those guys have to wear a mask on the sidelines. But then they go, and then they construct a huddle. Guys are closer to them than they're going to be the entirety of the game. And they're the ones talking in the huddle without a mask. So then the COVID is spewing from their mouths into the huddle. I know some of the naysayers right now are going to say, well, what would you rather, Brady? Just unvaccinated players can't play? I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Surely the people that are terrified of COVID are like, that doesn't make sense. So that's why I've stayed away from this, because I'm tired of it. You get a coach wearing a mask. And I know Fangio was fined last year, and a lot of them were for pulling it down and yelling at the refs. But what good is it doing wearing a damn mask on the sideline of an NFL football game outside when you take it off to go be in the huddle? And then the defending team, when they sack you, a lot of times their faces are right next to each other. This is the problem with all of this. There's inconsistencies, And it doesn't make sense. If the virus is lethal enough to get you on the sidelines, it's going to get you in the huddle. It's going to get you right there.
I would just fine him for lying.
I'm not even arguing the fine, because those are the protocols. But they fined like Jerry Jeudy how much for doing the fake bow and arrow thing?
Those taunting things are BS.
Stupid.
But let them play.
I get it. If you're getting into somebody's face and it's like really bad and it's
or you're calling them something.
The NFL tried to regulate that a few years ago. No words. You can say the F word and S word and stuff, but you can't say no words.
Did you see Monday night the Bears player turn to the sideline and look?
What did he say?
I don't know what he said.
So a lot of people, and I'm one of them at first. I was like, they said he was talking to the punter. He wasn't talking to the punter. He was talking to the sideline. But what did he say? Yeah, that one's tough for me.
Now, the
referee that he, like, walked into and the ref, like, backed up into him, that ref should be fined, I think. That ref should get something. Because he was standing straight and that guy walked by him. Can't even think who the player was. Walked by him and the ref kind of poked his butt out to clip him, kind of. And then threw a flag. And he didn't throw a flag on that, but he threw a flag. And you could tell he was pissed at that player.
Yeah, he was looking for an excuse.
Right, but he threw the flag because he was taunting to the bench. So, Jerry Jeudy doing a bow and arrow thing like Jamal Murray does in the NBA, I guess they told Jeudy that it wasn't the pulling back of the fake bow. It was when he released it.
Who
the hell is the same person that's making the taunting rules making the COVID mask rules?
Should he be throwing the arrow like the Washington football
team? Shouldn't have released it
because
you saw him do it. You saw him do it Sunday, right?
Yeah,
he pulled the arrow back and then just put it back down.
Well, maybe
put
it's
back
some
down
kind
silent,
of cultural
quietly.
Misappropriation like the Washington no longer the Redskins.
Stupid. It's that part stupid. I'm not going to get into that. I said on this show 5 years ago that name should and would be changed, and it was, and good for them. That should be changed. Now, I'm not talking about all of the other names right now. That's not what this discussion is about. But if you look up the term Redskin, which I don't even like saying it. If you look up the term, that's a pretty derogatory term. It is. It is what it is. Brady, I know Native Americans that are fine with it. Great. That doesn't mean it's okay.
They can use it.
Whatever. But I get it. I said it 5 years ago, and it came true. I'm not saying I know what I'm talking about, but I do. It was wrong then. Obviously, it made sense now.
And they were the Redskins for a very long time.
I'm not a big, like, cancel and all that stuff, but that was one that got to me. Like, should the Indians' name be changed? Like, that one's different for me. Because that was a classification. The Vikings, those were groups of people, are groups of people.
For the Indians, it's more their logo.
You're right. Right.
That's a caricature.
Yes, and I agree. That one, too. Now they're trying to get rid of the chopping and all that stuff.
You know, I'd get rid of it for everybody except for Florida State, because all that stuff they copied from Florida State.
Well, apparently Florida State, well, they sign off on it. They're good. Seminole Nation signs off on it and says, yes, please do it.
Exactly. They got permission. And as far as I'm concerned, if you get permission from a tribe,
then you can do it.
Go ahead and do it.
If you get the tribe, like that actual tribe. You can't. But what gets me is when you're talking to a guy at a coffee shop and he's like, you know what? I know about five Native Americans and they're okay with it. So it's fine.
Oh, well,
so
your suddenly, five friends don't mean everybody in the nation.
They mean everybody. So it's just silly to me whenever I hear that. Like,
and there are
that's,
how
that's
many
where
tribes
getting,
are there?
I don't. I,
a lot.
I, okay, yeah. I thought you were asking me really. I don't know. Boy, how did we get here? Where did we go?
It's probably my fault.
It was about taunting. We got into the taunting because we talked about how Jerry Jeudy's getting fined almost as much as Rodgers for this, and that's silly. But the reason I've stayed away from this, we got a break, but is because it's so inconsistent. It's just that's the bottom line. 34 minutes after the hour, Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network. Coming up next, first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back to The Hulse Show, powered by PDC Energy. With us now on our First Advantage Hotline, Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And Jesse, basketball's rocking and rolling, man. Had a couple of Mountain West teams in action last night, specifically here where we're talking about Colorado State Rams, 109 points over a Sweet 16 Oral Roberts last night. What a fun night in Fort Collins that was.
That team is no joke. let me ask you this. I would have told you that John Tonjay would have more field goals made than Isaiah Stevens, David Roddy, and Kendall Moore combined, would you have thought that it would have been a blowout?
No way. Barely even a win, right?
Yeah, and not only a win, but a runaway victory. You score over 100 points. Listen, if this team scores 100 points or anywhere close week in and week out, they're going to be tough to beat on any floor on any night. I'm as excited about this Colorado State basketball team as I have been in 25 years of intimately following Rams hoops. This team is something special. Talk about depth, star power, unselfish basketball. You roll all that up into one, and you got a team that really has the makings to go deep in March.
So, Jesse, I know, yeah, and that was going to be my next question. I know it's one game, but we've been building up to this. It's not just like they came out of nowhere. The last 2 years, especially, we've looked at this team and said, look out, they're going to get better and better every single year, and here they are. We picked them to do great things. How far do you think this team can go? That's our poll question today. How far? I mean, getting into the tournament, going deep into the tournament, or a lot of our listeners are even saying Sweet 16 and beyond.
Look, this team as it stands today, and what we would expect, it's a tournament team. I mean, barring major injury, this is a tournament team. You're not going to find too many teams that have the depth, the star power, and the amount of games played by your stars. I mean, geez, David Roddy and Isaiah Stevens and Kendall Moore have played a lot of basketball and have played for a coach that they would run through a wall for. So I don't think that there's any reason this team shouldn't expect from itself to make a run in a tournament. Are they a Final Four team? You have to have a lot of things go your way. Are you an Elite Eight team? You have to have a lot of things going your way. But I don't think that there's any reason to expect that this team doesn't get a decent seed in an NCAA tournament. And then you hope that you have a matchup that's favorable. An NCAA tournament is all about matchups, right? You get a favorable matchup, you put together a couple wins, and you look up and say, we're one of 16 teams still playing. I mean, we saw Oral Roberts do that last year. So I don't think that I think you should expect, and I think this team does expect, that they will be an NCAA tournament team. And then they have the amount of experience and star power and buy-in from the top down that I don't see that there's any reason, and no one would be shocked if this team won a couple of games in the tournament.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Jesse. What else kind of stood out to you? Again, a couple of games rolling, and this is part of this opening week. It's like every single night. It's hard for me to – I don't know how you do it, man. I can't keep it straight.
I just fake it, man. I mean, I just act like I know it. No, I mean, as I said, John Tonjay has always played that role player guy. He had a big shot, obviously, against San Diego State, but he's played in the shadows of the big three. But for him to come out and drop 31 as another scoring option, that's huge. And then Deshaun Thomas in 20 minutes as a double-double, 16 and 10. If you're able to get double figures from, a Thomas and a Jacobs and a Tonjay in addition to your big three, I mean, that's depth that maybe that Nico hasn't had. He's had that starting five that's as good as anyone in the Mountain West. But if he's able to bring guys off the bench to spell those guys and save their legs for March, that's what stood out to me, the depth and those guys that are quote-unquote role players all of a sudden right away in a big game out of the gate, and they're playing starring roles. That's huge.
Yeah, no question. And I'm really excited, Jesse, to see the conference schedule. That speaks for itself. That's going to be a blast because I think the Mountain West is going to have a lot of stud teams. But the non-conference schedule, that's going to be. I see Alabama down the road there. There are some good teams, and there's going to be big time tests for Colorado State. Which after watching that one against Oral Roberts, I'm saying, man, bring every one of them on at this point.
Sure, you look at their stretch that they have that leads into conference play. You got Little Rock. I mean, that's a team that has had some really good teams in the past, gone deep in a tournament, right? Then you have St. Mary's, always a tough team out of the WCC. You got Mississippi State, a team out of the SEC in the Naismith Hall of Fame Classic. You've got Tulsa. That's been a quality program for a long time, and Alabama. I mean, you put those five games in a row leading into conference play, they'll certainly be tested and find out, you know, where they fit in nationally before they come into a conference where there's a lot expected of the Mountain West, and I think there should be, with Colorado State and San Diego State maybe being the two lead dogs, so to speak, in the chase for tournament, for an NCAA tournament berth. But I really think Nevada is going to be sneaky good and wouldn't shock anybody if they're in the mix to win a tournament or win a conference title or get into a tournament. And then New Mexico is a wild card. They got a lot of transfers that have come in for a new coach, excited about what they have. So, and Boise State. Boise State's got a number of guys. They've got that depth, too, a lot like Colorado State, that they could withstand a couple injuries here or there and be right there come March. So, I mean, I think those five teams really make this league probably the best preseason and going into the season that we've had since we had, you know, many, many teams get into the NCAA tournament in 13 and 14.
Yeah, no question. Jesse Kurtz joining us, lead anchor from the Mountain West Network. All right, let's switch over to the football side. A big one coming up this weekend, Nevada and San Diego State. Man, I love it when you get the top team, number two team, right by, stacked on top of each other. Going to go at it. Let's just figure it out on the field.
Yeah, this is for the driver's seat in the West, and that's what you want, late season games that mean something. You've got one of the best offenses and top offenses in the country in Nevada. They'll throw it all over the place, and then one of the top defenses in the country in San Diego State, played down in Southern California. This could be. It ultimately is not, but you know, it could be an elimination game. These two teams desperately need this win to stay in the race. So when you got those high stakes between two teams that want it badly, listen, Nevada's never been in a Mountain West championship game. You look on that side, San Diego State's played in a couple. Fresno State's played in multiple. San Jose State has been there. Hawaii's been there. It's only Nevada and UNLV that haven't played in a Mountain West championship game from the west side. They want it bad. They would be in position to host, possibly, but they got to get by a San Diego State team that's 8-1 and is just as hungry.
Jesse Kurtz joining us, lead anchor from the Mountain West Network. On the other side of things, when you look at teams on the top, you know, on the Mountain West mountain, you see Utah State, San Jose State in that one. Of course, Air Force and CSU. I mean, I know Air Force losing to Army, but that doesn't do anything to their Mountain West play. So they've got their sights on still coming up from behind here and doing something pretty cool.
Yeah, this is going to be a crazy finish. And what's going to make it crazy is the round robin between Utah State, Air Force, and Boise State, where Utah State beat Air Force beat Boise State, and Boise State beat Utah State. And there's a chance they could all be tied by the end of the conference season, and then it's going to go deep into tiebreakers, which I'm not smart enough to figure out that algorithm. But here's the crazy thing about all of this, you know, and Boise State is very much alive to get into a championship game. And here's how. If Utah State were to lose at San Jose State, totally plausible. I mean, that could happen. San Jose State is probably not as bad as their record indicates. Air Force loses at Colorado State. Again, totally could happen. That puts Boise State in the driver's seat by virtue of the tiebreaker over Utah State. So it's going to get wild down the stretch in both divisions, but with that round robin between Utah State, Air Force, and Boise State, it's going to get real crazy.
And Boise State, yeah, like you said, doing some pretty cool things the last few weeks. So it does. It gets very, very interesting. Plus, we have all the basketball excitement too. Jesse, I know you got your hands full, my friend. So we'll let you go, and we'll look to catch up with you next week. We'll see where we stand on the football side and getting a couple more basketball games under our belt.
Can't wait. Be well, my friend.
All right, man. Jesse Kurtz, Mountain West Network. I mean, I love the Mountain West, and who better to break it all down than Mr. Kurtz himself. 48 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. Do we have what's on TV tonight? Do we have that, Michael? We'll get to that on the other side. Okay, we'll get to that. What's some of the big games Angel has his eye on? He'll be back with us tomorrow, so we'll get to that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
You big Black Label Society fan there, Michael?
Well, you know, I used to get this song stuck in my head, and I never knew what it was.
No, I never. I can't really understand Zakk Wylde that much, but
I don't even know who he is.
I just know that he's good.
I just really like the song, and for a long time I was searching for it, and one day I heard it a few months ago on your show.
Mm-hmm.
I have to find out what it is.
That's the show. Obviously, we bring you gold every single day, but we also try to educate the listeners on real music. Real music.
Well, I could educate the listeners on real
rock
music.
Music. Hard rock music. That is the only music that's out there. I mean, that's
no.
Just, yeah, that's it.
We
no.
could have a discussion on oldies
no.
and Motown
nope.
and blues.
Nope.
And
we couldn't have a discussion.
Listen,
I'm open-minded when it comes to almost anything. But when it comes to music, I'm a snob. Big time.
You and I are not talking to each other anymore.
I'm a music snob. That I'll say that. Brian texted me, country baby. Brian. I love it, and I love his show. And he makes country music like sound better because he's good. But country music, it makes me want to fall asleep.
Country music makes me want to do
Although,
something else.
Garth Brooks, not bad.
I like his alter ego because everybody else hated it.
What's his
it.
Name? What was it? Gaines? Chris Gaines?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it was Chris Gaines. That was a weird time. Don't you wish you could be a celebrity some days and just be like, I'm going to be somebody else today. I decided that wasn't good enough. I'm going to be a different dude. We got Pick Central coming up. What is it, Wednesday? We got Pick Central coming up. Of course, the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary coming up. Stay tuned to that. Brian's going to probably tell you a little bit more about our KFKA Cash for Christmas. I'm pumped about that. Somebody's going to win $1,000. Could be one of the hooligans. Just get aggressive and get out there and register. We got the block party tonight, the Nerd Show, Brew Talk, Nick Snacks, and Fat Guys at the Movies. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.